Well, we're joined with Anthony and welcome everybody out. And we do have those that are visiting, and we're delighted. We've had, of course, several of all on vacation the past week, and they're all home safe. And so we're happy for that. And just good for each and every one that's able to be out. Among our visitors, we're glad to have Jerry and Marie Scott with us again. That's Barbara's sister down here and her husband, and we're glad to have them. Good to see Lloyd and Doreen Thomas with us. And, of course, they attend up in Ohio there at West Mason, and we're delighted to have them, and Dennis and Leanne and Miss Lydia back here. They attend Lachlan, and we're just delighted to have them. And just good to have each and every one here this morning. We trust that our study will be profitable, will be beneficial as we open the Word of the Lord together. As you see on the screen, Luke chapter 17 will be the basis of our study here this morning. Luke chapter 17. We'll begin by the reading of the text here, verses 11 through 19. It says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, Go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, We're not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. We want to look at this story because it is a story about two things. It is a story about gratitude, and it is a story of ingratitude as we talk about the story of the 10 lepers being healed. And what we want to do is just, first off, just kind of look at the text and kind of talk about it for just a little bit here. Leprosy was, of course, a common problem in other places in the world. In the Philippines, there are those that have leprosy among some of the citizens there. They have some leper colonies in the Philippines. India also has several people who have leprosy, but it was and still is a dreadful disease. It's just a degenerative disease that you just wither away, and various problems and ramifications that come from the disease. In the New Testament days, they had to stay back, in the days of Jesus, which is from the Old Testament, they had to stay separate. I mean, things like just going up here to the store, you couldn't do that. Couldn't run down to Walmart. Couldn't go up to the Jeans restaurant or stop in at McDonald's. You had to stay afar off, and if anybody was coming near you, you had to cry out, unclean, unclean. And so the lepers would sort of bunch up together. Maybe they had heard about Jesus, no doubt, and so they come and they plead with Jesus for mercy. And then their pleading for mercy was not that the Lord would just have pity and say, Boy, I sure feel sorry for you. But that the Lord would feel sorry and have compassion and have mercy and then step out and do something about this dreadful disease that they had. And Jesus was merciful. He says, You go show yourselves to the priest. And so they take off. And they begin to be healed. And it was things that they could see. They could see their hands. Maybe they could see something on their body. They could feel some sort of change taking place. All 10 of them were healed. All 10 of them were cleansed of the leprosy. And one of them, who is described as a Samaritan, now, for those who don't know, Samaritans were kind of a half-breed. It goes back ultimately to the Assyrian captivity when the Jews were taken captive. And some of the Jews were intermarrying with the Gentile people. That's where the Samaritans came from. And with many people back then, as today, there are some folks that just don't like half-breed people. They don't like races mixing together and just really have a disdain for that. And so it for those who were Samaritans. So this guy is both a Samaritan and he's a leper, but he was healed. And his heart is just filled with gratitude. I mean, God was merciful. Christ was merciful and healed him and blessed him with a gift that was so wonderful, far greater than handing him a wad of $100 bills, far greater than delivering unto him a brand new chariot. No, gave him a gift of healing there, of cleansing, that now he'll be healthy and he can work and he can intermingle and he can be with people again. And the consequences of the diseases would be no more, and his heart is just overwhelmed with gratitude, and he just stops and comes and falls at the feet of Jesus and gives thanks and glory to God. And Jesus looks at the situation. There were 10 of them. You just count them out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They're all bunched up over there, and the other 9, they went on their way, but this one came back to give thanks. And Jesus asked 2 questions. He says in verse 17, "Were not 10 cleansed?" It's a rhetorical question. That is, the answer is within the question. Well, yeah, there were 10 people cleansed. Absolutely. It wasn't just him. It was all 10 were cleansed. But then he asked a very penetrating question. He says, "But where are the 9? If there were 10 cleansed and only one comes back, 1 from 10 leaves 9, and so the question is, but where are the 9? Where are they?" He says, "They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." This fellow who is a Samaritan, you see, the only one that has the ability to have gratitude? And the answer is no. They all have the ability to be grateful. Do they have anything to be thankful for? Well, absolutely. But the question is still arising. But where are the 9? There was no gratitude, or a lack of expression of gratitude of the 9. But at least one gave thanks and glory to God. And Jesus says, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." They had faith. They trusted in Jesus that he could do something, and he did. He helped them, and they were cleansed, but only one expressed any gratitude in the story, and that was the Samaritan. Where are the 9? You know, ingratitude is really a bad thing. There in the book of Romans chapter 1, Paul talked about there. Really what Paul does, he shows in chapter 1, 16 and 17 that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone, Jew and Gentile alike. And then he begins in verse 18, and he begins to show that the Gentiles are under sin. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Did you notice there in verse 21, it said they didn't glorify God, then it said neither were they thankful. Now when it says there in Romans chapter 1 that they were not thankful, that says 2 things. It says, number 1, they had someone to be thankful to, and it says, number 2, they had something to be thankful for. They had to be thankful and should have been thankful to God, and they had something to be thankful for, and we all have something to be thankful for, and we have someone to be thankful to, and that of course is God. I mean, where do we get all that we have? Where do all our blessings come from? Well, they come from God. And it's like I've seen a TV show or something, and this guy, it was sort of making a mockery of prayer, the idea of giving thanks at a meal. And the guy kind of went through a prayer and I worked hard to go out and provide this food that I bought with my money that I'd worked and labored for. And, well, if there's anything else, thanks God. I'm thinking, he doesn't really perceive and understand. And really, he doesn't see the whole picture of things. saying, who gave that guy life? Well, that would have been God. Who gave him existence? Well, that would be God. I mean, who provided air to breathe? Who provided the sunshine? Who provided the strength for him to get out and work? Well, that'd be God. I mean, did this guy get out and work? And did he go out and buy the food? Well, yeah, he did all those things. But who gave him the strength and the power to do all those things? Who sustained? And if he got out and worked in the garden and raised that, who made the plants grow? Well, that was God. And the guy, he has these blinders on. He has such a narrow view, thinking that is as if he had done everything and God had done nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, we have so much to be grateful to for the Lord. Ingratitude, it is a fundamental problem when we fail to recognize and give thanks to God. We have fundamentally gone astray in our lives and our hearts if we cannot see and perceive that we have something to be thankful for and someone to be thankful to. We've erred in something very basic and fundamental of what we are as creatures in the sight of God. Our story from Luke 17 is about gratitude and ingratitude. There are many passages that teach us that we should be a thankful people, and we'll just kind of look at them. And just try to emphasize and let these thoughts dwell in our mind that this is so basic and fundamental that we should be a people that not only are thankful at heart, but that we give thanks to God. In the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body." And he says, "And be ye thankful." Be ye thankful. We have much to be thankful for. I asked Chris to lead that 392. Count your many blessings. And we can count our many blessings. We ought to be counting our blessings because we have the things to be thankful for always. Verse 17, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Well, if we give thanks, it says we've got something to be thankful for. It's like I could say, well, thanks for the birthday present today. Well, number one, it's not my birthday. Number two, I didn't get no presents today for my birthday. But Lorraine, she did get me a tie-tack, though. Statue of Liberty tie-tack, so I'll try to wear that Wednesday night. Well, I didn't get no birthday presents today, so I don't have to give any thanks for birthday presents today because I didn't get any birthday presents today. But if we receive, we should give thanks. But we do receive. That's why we should be giving thanks. We receive all the time from the hand of God. Look there in Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 7 there. He says, "Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Abounding, overflowing with thanksgiving. And if we're overflowing with thanksgiving, it's because we have an overflowing of blessings and goodness from the hand of God. Thanksgiving, that we give thanks. Notice Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. "Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving." Thanksgiving. We should be a thankful people. Then notice right after Colossians comes Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. "In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Give thanks. It's God's will that we give thanks. He does for us. We thank Him for it. We try to teach our children that. When somebody gives you something, well, what are you supposed to say? Well, thank you. Can you say thank you? Somebody gives you somebody gives you a chocolate, well, and you tell the kid, now, what are you supposed to say? Thank you. Well, that's what we're supposed to do. It's God's will that we give Him thanks. That's what Paul said there in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In Ephesians there, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, he says, talking about immorality, he says, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient." Instead of being involved in them, he says what? But rather giving of thanks. In Ephesians chapter 5, and in verse 20, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Giving thanks always for all things he describes in our text. We do it in the name of Christ. And how many texts are we seeing? How many times is this being talked about? That we give thanks, that we be a thankful people, that we have gratitude in our hearts. There in the book of Philippians chapter 4, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgivings, let your requests be made known unto God. Oh, not only do we ask God to help us in this, and God bless us in this endeavor, but we say, hey, God, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for this, thank you for this, thank you for this, as we express our gratitudes unto Him. And then there in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, it says, by Him, that is by Christ, our high priest, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, now listen, giving thanks to His name. All these passages are telling us, as God's people, we're people that recognize, you know, we're blessed of the Lord. He gives us life, He gives us strength, He gives us health, He gives us the air we breathe. He's the one that provides, He's the one that sustains, He's the one that makes the world go around, He's the one that upholds all things by the word of His power, and He's the one that is blessing us not only physically but spiritually. And all these texts are saying that we ought to be a thankful people. And as we sing the song, count your many blessings. It's so easy to get just caught up with so much that we just become blinded by it. And we don't see where it comes from. And these passages are telling us we need to see where it comes from. And in the story of the 10 lepers, Jesus asked the question, but where are the 9? No, the 9, they haven't come to give gratitude. They haven't come to give any glory, any thanksgiving. All they can see is just they're happy and they've been relieved and they don't see where it comes from, they don't see who provided for them, and they just didn't have gratitude. We're to be a thankful people. Now what got me thinking about this, got an email from Randy Reynolds. It was an article by a fella, and he was talking about our country. And he was talking about how, you know, on the radio and the internet and TV, how talking about all the bad things in our country. And there are bad things going on there. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, one of the big things that people talk about is the high price of gas, of what we've been accustomed to paying, how high it is. And, of course, that, of course, makes food costs go up, and folks talk about that. And people talk about crime and the drug problems and alcohol problems. You can talk about corruption in politics. I was reading an article about this these folks that had gotten some doctor's, I don't know, he was dead, but they got his doctor, physician's number to order things from Medicare, and how they were milking and by fraud, stealing from Medicare, ordering all these things and billing them, and how they were cheating and carrying on, and the waste in government. And there are definitely all kinds of bad things goes on in our country. And they need to be talked about, no doubt about it. But what this fellow did in the article of the email I got from Randy, it really got me thinking. And that, you know, there are a lot of good things that go on in our country. You know, amazing, when you look around about the world, that we still have the biggest gross national party, GNP, of any country in the whole world. And in fact, the GNP of the United States of America is almost as big as the next 4 countries. That's Japan, China, Germany, and England. The gross national product, production of our country is almost as big as the 4 next biggest countries in the world. That says a lot. We live in a land of plenty. We have been blessed abundantly. We live in a land of freedom. And all these folks that have been traveling this week, the ones that were on the bus tour, they went through several states, they went through West Virginia, up through, I think, Maryland, Pennsylvania, New York. You know, I don't think there was any border checks, was there? Was there any border checks? I mean, did they stop you there when you crossed into West Virginia? Oh, we're going to have to search the whole bus here now. Everybody get off and show your paperwork. No. You can travel from state to state. And no border checks, no problem. We live in the land of free. Our road system. Well, I've been on some pretty cruddy roads in other parts of the world, but our road system, Oh, we have some potholes and all that, but we have a wonderful road system in our country that has really helped to make our country great and to prosper. The national parks, the lands that have been set aside, some of the magnificent places throughout our country has been set aside. We still have the best health care system in the world. We have electricity that 99.5% of the time is reliable. Is that in other places? I've been in the Philippines where you'll have brownout maybe for days. That's where electricity goes off for several days or several hours and then back on. That's the only time we have some storms when they come through and knock down power lines. But generally, we have a reliable source of electricity. Our education system and the universities, people all over the world come to what? They want to come to America and study and to learn. We are abundantly blessed. Yeah, there's some bad things, and we look at the bad things, but don't get so wrapped up in the bad things that we can't see all the good things that we have in our great country, that we have been abundantly blessed, and where it all comes from, and that is from the hand of God and the blessings of God, and we give Him thanks and credit for all the good that we have. And then that led to my thinking along this line and in the church. Whether you want to talk about the local congregation here in Providence or we're talking about churches in general of God's people, you know, we could talk about some bad things. You look among the people of God, there's churches that have split and they have divided up in factionalism. Brethren who are fussing and fighting and carrying on in various places. We've got people here that's even just totally quit the Lord. Don't ever attend. Just don't even think about God. Don't serve God. And that's sad. And that's a problem. And it needs to be addressed and looked at and prayed about. And yeah, we have people that are haphazard and weak and people who have problems. And yeah, there are things that sometimes brethren and individuals fall into grievous sin and error. I recognize that. Yeah, there's some bad things. Don't get looking at the bad things and think everything's bad and weak. There are good things that go on. The good things that go on among God's people and among churches and the congregation here, great blessings, a place to be thankful. We've got a group of people that are committed to worshiping God in spirit and in truth. We've got people here that want to say, let's just do the work of the Lord and be limited to God's work and not get involved in something else. We have a facility, a building that's paid for. You know, there are lots of places where brethren have gone into debt and are greatly burdened, having to meet mortgage payments to repay their building. And besides the local evangelists here, we provide in this congregation help support some 15 evangelists in various parts of the world and helping them in the preaching of the gospel. Twice a year we have meetings that last 6 days. I got a note from Jojo Tokpat over in the Philippines. They're going to have a meeting the first day of August, a one-day meeting. Kind of a big thing for them, and it will be profitable and beneficial, but it's only one day. And we're blessed to have folks that come preach for us all week long, our vacation Bible school to hear teaching. We've got a wealth of talented people that are using their talents in the preaching and teaching of the gospel in various aspects. We have much to be thankful for. We have many women who are involved and young women who are involved in the teaching of the small children. And you know, yeah, there are bad things. You can talk about some bad things that go on associated with the congregation here or other churches of the Lord. But I tell you what, there are a lot of good things. And we don't need to be blinded by the bad things to the good things. And you step back and say, yeah, hey, there are some good things going on. There are people that are trying to do what's right. Yeah, there are people that have responded to the gospel. And yeah, there are people that are growing and that are developing spiritually. We have much to be thankful for. When up on life's billows, your attempt is paused. When you're discouraged, thinking all is lost. Just stop and count all our blessings, both physically and spiritually, and to think about all that God's done. And you know, just gratitude and being a thankful people just sort of kind of changes our perspective of things. It's kind of like our country. If we get bogged down about all the bad things, we think, boy, this is a sorry place, and we just feel like up and moving, you think, well, where will we go to? I mean, you want to move to Cuba?
Venezuela?
You want to move to some, maybe Iran? Do you think about some of that country? You think, well, yeah, we got some bad things, but hey, there's a lot of good things, there's a lot of right things and wonderful things about living in the United States of America. It's just that if we look at it from the right perspective and always be thankful. Jesus said, but where are the nine? No gratitude there. But I tell you what, we can think, well, we can be like the one. There was one that gave thanks. There was one that gave glory to God. There was one that was a person of gratitude, thanksgiving, and appreciation, and we can be like the one. We can talk about and we can think about and speak about the nine that were ungrateful and they were definitely wrong in their disposition. But I tell you, that one was grateful and he serves as a great example for us. And we can follow in his steps. Well, we extend the invitation of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to thank God, thank God, thank God that he has provided a plan of salvation. Thank the Lord for his plan of salvation, that we can be forgiven, that we can be washed, that we can be redeemed, and that we can be made right in his sight. The plan of salvation is simple. We've got to hear the good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Upon the hearing of that good news that Jesus died, will we believe in him? John gave and wrote down the signs, the seven signs of the resurrection to give us confidence and all the evidence we need to convince us that he is the Christ and therefore have life. We need to repent. That is in the Great Commission, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We've got to confess Jesus before men, as Paul talked about in Romans 10, 9 and 10, 39. Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We can do that even today. And then we need to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Acts 22 and verse 16. And now, why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We can obey the gospel. We can be forgiven. We can become a Christian by obeying these first principles of the doctrine of Christ. We come up out of that watery grave. Just grow and be steadfast. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Just come out with gratitude and thanksgiving and just grow and just stay with the Lord. And we have a second law of pardon when we add, that is to repent and ask God for forgiveness. We're going to sing this song to your encouragement. If you would need to respond to the plan of salvation, and we can help you to that end. If you want to become a Christian even today or make your life right, let us know of how we can help you. Why don't we get it as we stand and as we sing.